A few years ago, Argentina was in this situation that might sound a little bit familiar. The country had just elected this charismatic populist president who said she was going to fix the Argentine economy. Her name was Cristina Kirchner.
She said, Argentina isn't making things. We need to make things. And so she had this idea. She was going to bring manufacturing from Asia and Mexico to Argentina.
En tiempos de globalización siguen más vigentes que nunca. Representar los intereses de los argentinos.
Kirchner started pressuring companies to make things in Argentina. She put huge taxes on things that were manufactured overseas, taxes of like 30 and 40%.
And for some other things, including certain kinds of electronics, say, Kirchner went even further. She said, you cannot import these at all. If you want to sell them in Argentina, you have to make them in Argentina.
Hugo Bonifacini saw this firsthand.
Okay, sorry for my English, Stacy.
No, your English sounds great.
No, it's not true.
Hugo was a systems engineer at a manufacturing company in a remote part of Argentina. It was a pretty small operation, about 60 employees.
And then right around 2010, give or take, the president of Argentina makes this law that says all these things have to be made in Argentina. And suddenly Hugo's world is like completely transformed. Like overnight, these giant shipping containers full of parts and machinery for all this new manufacturing start showing up outside his office.
We don't have warehouse to store.
So all the parts would arrive and you didn't have anywhere to put them.
Yes, they arrive and end. Some people ask, hey, in your house, you have a space.
So did he put machinery in his house?
He said, no, he was joking. It never actually came to that, but close. He said it came close.
A lot of those containers full of equipment had cell phone parts, smartphone parts, because one of those things that Kirchner said you cannot import at all, has to be made in Argentina, was cell phones.
And some companies like Apple and the iPhone, for example, would not play ball.
Meaning you just, their Apple doesn't sell iPhones in Argentina?
You could not get an iPhone in Argentina.
Okay.
But other companies said, okay, we will give it a try, including the company that made BlackBerries.
Honestly, I didn't even know BlackBerries still existed
in 2010. Okay, yes. You're thinking BlackBerry, that company is dead. Do people still use BlackBerries anymore? But this was back in 2011, and BlackBerry was a hot phone. In fact, it was the most popular phone in Argentina at the time.
Okay.
Argentine celebrities and politicians were all carrying BlackBerries around. It was kind of like the it phone.
Here in Argentina, everybody was crazy for BlackBerry. BlackBerry was an icon.
At the time, BlackBerries were assembled in Mexico and Hungary. A lot of the parts were made in Asia. But Argentina was a really important market for BlackBerry. They sold a lot of phones there. And Kirchner's cell phone ban was costing them more than $100 million a year. So BlackBerry agreed to try and make phones in Argentina. It partnered up with Hugo's company. And suddenly, this company in this little town was responsible for making all of the BlackBerries for all of Argentina. Millions of phones.
All production. Explode, Stacy. Was amazing.
Hello and welcome to Planet Money. I'm Stacy Vanek Smith.
And I'm Jacob Goldstein. Today on the show, Making Argentina Great Again.
What happens when a country tries to undo globalization and bring in manufacturing from overseas? We follow the Argentine BlackBerry through an ocean of logistical hurdles, political posturing, and free market forces to, quite literally, the ends of the earth.
Support for Planet Money and the following message come from Betterment, a smarter way to invest your money. Betterment combines time-tested investing principles with the transparency and ease of use you expect from great technology, focusing on lowering fees and taxes. And here's what you might find refreshing. Betterment really cares that you reach your financial goals, and that's why they keep their fees low. Planet Money listeners can get 1 month managed free. For more information, visit betterment.com/planetmoney.
The BlackBerry story is really part of a much, much bigger story about President Cristina Kirchner and how she came into office with this plan to really control the entire Argentine economy, to like turn all the dials on the economy. She wanted exports to change and imports to change, and she started making all these rules. Like, there was one that said, like, okay, if you're a company and you want to import stuff, you also have to export something, right? She's like, we got to export stuff. So you wound up with these ridiculous things. Like, there was actually a Porsche dealer in Argentina. If you're a Porsche dealer, you got to import Porsches. So what this guy did was, like, he's like, well, my family has a vineyard, so I guess I'll get into the wine business. And he starts shipping wine overseas just so he can import Porsches.
Mitsubishi got into peanuts, and Subaru started exporting tons and tons of chicken feed.
Sure.
Now, when Kirshner would tell companies, you have to make stuff in Argentina, it didn't always stop there. She would sometimes get very specific. In the case of BlackBerry, she had a very particular part of Argentina in mind. Wes Nickel ran BlackBerry's South America operations.
The law was that you had to manufacture it down at the very southern tip of Argentina.
Tierra del Fuego. Land of fire.
Just makes you want to set up shop there.
Nothing says manufacturing hub.
Like the land of fire. Tierra del Fuego is an island in the south of Argentina. It is actually where boats leave for Antarctica. It is one
also a promising sign for a manufacturing hub.
It's one of the most remote places on Earth, and it has a really harsh environment. It's cloudy all the time. Apparently, the wind is always ripping through, and it's hard to get to. The roads are terrible. There aren't many flights in or out. Argentines call it the end of the Earth.
There's some colorful language I won't use in this interview on it, but that just talking about how far away Tierra del Fuego is from the rest of the world, it is really in the middle of nowhere.
It would be like if Apple suddenly had to make iPhones on a little island off the coast of Alaska.
But Wes Nickel says there was a logic to this. It wasn't an economic logic. It was political logic.
That was one of the population bases that was really supportive of Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner, helped her get elected. And so she wanted to pay back those constituents and provide jobs for them. And so she was really forcing this issue.
And so they wound up setting up shop in Tierra del Fuego and working with Hugo's company.
And even though Hugo had spent his entire career working in manufacturing, he says BlackBerry's operations were just on another level. The factory, he said, was like a work of art. There was a clean room with all of these very sophisticated monitors that would, like, keep track of tiny particles of dust. There was state-of-the-art machinery. There was really high security. And all this stuff, getting it all set up, took like a year.
And even once they had the factory, they were missing another key thing, another key element, people. They needed like 2,000 workers to come in and make all these phones. So they started having to recruit people from halfway across the country to come move to this town to work in the factory.
Hugo says that was not easy.
You know, the weather conditions here are very, very hard.
Okay.
So the attractive for the people, and those is the salary. Yes.
Oh, so in order to get people to come to Tierra del Fuego to fill all these jobs, they had to offer a really high salaries.
Claro. Very high salary. Yes.
Three times what that job would pay in another part of the country, not to mention really great pension benefits.
They make all these changes, they recruit all these workers, and within a year, Hugo says, the manufacturing company he's working for goes from 60 workers to more than 2,000 workers.
And 2 years after Argentina's cell phone ban, the first Argentine BlackBerry rolls off the line. Hugo still remembers the moment.
Yes, sure. Everybody was in the line, see the first BlackBerry.
Really? Everybody was crowded around to see it?
Yes, everybody.
This was a moment of triumph for President Kirchner. She had created thousands of jobs, and these are, you know, good high-end manufacturing jobs. They're creating this product that everybody loved, and it's super high-tech. So the moment this comes off the line, like, all of the politicians come out to see it happen.
Senators, diputados, and the many, many politics say, okay, we want to see the BlackBerry, we want to take a picture with the operators and the first BlackBerry. Everybody wants to catch this picture to use in the campaign, politics campaign.
Including the president herself. Cristina Kirchner made a big announcement about the first Argentine BlackBerry, and people went crazy. In the news clip we found of her speech, there is just 4 full minutes of just cheering. Everybody's waving Argentine flags and jumping up and down and dancing.
Gracias, compañeros.
Kirchner starts delivering this really impassioned speech about how Argentina is going to become a great center for manufacturing, about bringing jobs in from overseas. And then there is this amazing moment. Kirchner holds the BlackBerry up for the crowd to see, and she says, look, do you know what this is? This is the first Argentine BlackBerry, made in Tierra del Fuego.
Miren, ¿saben qué es esto? Un BlackBerry, el primer BlackBerry que se fabrica en la República Argentina en Tierra del Fuego.
This is an incredibly exciting moment for Hugo and for all of his thousands of coworkers, right? They have done this miraculous thing. In Tierra del Fuego, they have made this state-of-the-art phone.
Hugo says he got a little carried away at one point. He was giving a press tour, and he was so proud of this phone that he told one of the reporters, if you can find any difference between this phone that we've made in Argentina and a BlackBerry made anywhere else, I will give you this phone as a gift.
After that, my boss say, Hugo, I kill you.
Luckily, no one was able to find a difference.
BlackBerry Argentina was doing great. And it, you know, it wasn't just BlackBerry, right? These new rules that the president had put in place drove all kinds of manufacturing to Tierra del Fuego.
Yep, laptops, flat screen TVs, microwaves, air conditioners. Pretty much everything you can think of was being manufactured in Tierra del Fuego.
The population's growing, stores are opening, money is flowing in, you know, people are driving around in Range Rovers.
And the rest of Argentina was doing pretty well, too. In fact, the New York Times and The Guardian published editorials about what a great job Kirchner was doing. One headline called it the turnaround tango.
That's a terrible headline.
Well,
you think in Argentina, they're like, every time it's got to be the tango?
It's got to be the tango. The point, though, Jacob, is that Kirchner's plan of, like, strong-arming companies to start producing things in this remote part of Argentina, it was working.
My spidey sense is tingling.
Well,
I feel like it's not going to keep working.
There were a couple of problems. So first of all this setting up took a long time. And so by the time the first BlackBerry rolled off the line, the model was 2 years old, which in the world of cell phones, as you know, is like totally outdated. And in addition to that, it was expensive. In fact, the BlackBerry in Argentina was twice as expensive as newer BlackBerry models in the U.S.
So now President Kirchner, who set up this, you know, manufacturing miracle, has a new problem, right? She's made companies manufacture phones in Argentina, but she cannot make people in Argentina buy those phones.
And this created a very interesting business opportunity for some enterprising Argentines. I talked to one guy who smuggled BlackBerries into Argentina. He would hide them in pairs of shoes in his suitcase or stuff them into his socks before he walked through Argentine customs.
Well, you know, you have like soccer socks or baseball socks, you know, those that are quite tight.
Oh, the knee socks. Yeah. So you just like kind of put them, they'd be like against your leg.
Yeah.
How many can you carry in your sock?
Well, how many do you think you can carry in your sock? The same.
Well, I've never tried, but like, I don't know, like four in each sock? Is that too much?
No, you could probably do four.
So like you'd have eight phones in your socks?
Yeah.
I don't trust this guy one bit.
He had a solid little business going, Jacob. He would buy BlackBerries for $200 a piece in the U.S., and he would sell them on a website in Argentina for $400. And that was still cheaper than the Argentine BlackBerry.
It was also a better phone, cheaper and better.
How many phones overall did you sell, do you think?
Quite a lot. Probably more than 50.
Profit? $10,000. You can't afford to not smuggle phones at this point.
And not surprisingly, with enterprising Argentines walking through customs with their socks full of phones, sales of the original Argentine BlackBerry started to drop. Why would you get a worse phone for more money?
And Wes Nickel, the guy who worked for BlackBerry, said the Tierra del Fuego manufacturing plant just started making less and less economic sense.
It just came to a point where the business case wasn't justified. We just couldn't afford to do it.
Less than 2 years after Cristina Kirchner held that first Argentine BlackBerry up to the cheering crowd, the last Argentine BlackBerry rolled off the line.
Hugo Bonifacini remembers it well. How did you feel when BlackBerry left?
Was not easy for us. Como dicen ustedes americanos, sabor amargo.
Oh, it left a bad taste in your mouth.
Yes, that's right. It's sabor amargo.
Bitter.
Bitter taste.
Bitter taste.
Kirchner's government had invested $23 million in the BlackBerry project, not to mention $6,000 per worker per month. That was all up in smoke. And Hugo watched his company go from 2,000 workers down to 600 workers. And last year, he got called into the boss's office and was told, your job is going away.
It was very strange, my feeling, because the atmosphere in this company, it's not good to work, Stacy.
Yeah.
The very bad atmosphere, but the people is very angry every day. the people is very worried. Every day you are thinking about who will be the next.
This is happening at factories all over Argentina. Sales are going down. People are getting laid off. And more broadly, the Argentine economy is starting to fall apart.
All of Kirchner's economic controls unraveled kind of all at once. It got really bad. Inflation hit 40%.
40% in a year?
Yeah. And prices rose for everything. Food prices more than doubled. And a lot of companies that had been strong-armed into setting up shop in Argentina started pulling out. Now, to get a sense of where this story about Argentina falls in sort of a greater economic context, we talked to Eduardo Levy Yayeti. He's an economist in Argentina. And he says the biggest problem with Kirchner's protectionism, with protectionism in general, is that while the government was spending money and energy propping up Argentine manufacturing, it wasn't investing that money in areas where Argentina could compete on a global scale. It would be kind of like if Mozart started spending all of his time and money on ice hockey lessons.
Yayeti says this set the whole country back.
So we are losing time. We're losing badly needed time. Sooner or later, we'll need to lift the protection. But by the time we do that, we have lost 10 years in which we could have developed alternative sectors where we have a chance.
And you know, there are sectors where Argentina is a competitive exporter, where they make stuff the rest of the world wants. You know, beef and wine and biofuels. These are all strong industries in the country. So this is like problem A, right? They've been putting all their money in the wrong industries. And then you have problem B. Now you have created all these jobs that are economically not sustainable. So at some point, you know, that protectionism is going to go away. And all of these people who got these new jobs are going to be screwed.
Exactly. And Argentina elected a new president who ran on this platform of wanting to get rid of a lot of this protectionism, to open up trade with the rest of the world. But if he does that, places like Tierra del Fuego, places where the whole economy has been built around these protectionist policies, could collapse. Hugo Bonafacini did manage to get a new job about a month after he was laid off from his old one. But he says he has been luckier than most, and he's really worried about a lot of his friends. In Tierra del Fuego, there have been huge strikes, and some workers' pensions haven't been paid in months.
Manufactured things, stuff, is still really expensive in Argentina. A basic car costs like $50,000. A middle-of-the-road phone costs more than $1,000.
And in Argentina, you still cannot buy an iPhone.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the Acton School of Business in Austin, Texas. Acton prepares entrepreneurs to lead extraordinary lives and build world-changing businesses. If you're ready to pursue your entrepreneurial calling, get started today at actonmba.org/NPR.
What other stories should we do on Planet Money? Tell us by emailing us at planetmoney@npr.org, or you can reach us on Facebook or Twitter.
Our show today was edited by Bryant Urstadt and produced by Sally Helm, Nick Fountain, and our intern, Daniela Vidal. And we are looking for our next intern.
Planet Money intern Daniela Vidal, tell the people why they should apply.
You should apply because you get to work with all of these wonderful, smart people. Which is true. It's true. What do I say? I don't know. Apply because you get to see the Empire State Building out of a conference room. Do it.
Our internship is paid. It's a few months long. It's a great way to come hang out and figure out what we do.
We have a couple people we'd like to thank. Special thanks to Alexandra Starr, Jasmine Garst, and Matthew Vanek, my cousin.
If you're looking for something else to listen to, check out Ask Me Another. It's a quiz show with puzzles and word games and trivia. You can play along on the NPR One app at npr.org/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Jacob Goldstein.
And I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Thanks for listening. One headline called it the turnaround tango. Kirchner's
plan. We got wine.
We got beef.
You know what? Why don't you call it the Malbec miracle?